Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with Odd Mom Out's Jill Cardman, who then chats a little more backstage at Studio 8G just for this podcast. But first, let's hear a closer look.
As his administration deals with the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, President Trump is also dealing with a brewing storm within his own party over his decision to strike a funding deal with Democrats, prompting an absurd new round of punditry over whether Donald Trump is actually a Republican. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Hurricane Irma began its assault on Florida this weekend, which meant it was time for the flapping rain jackets of cable news to take to the airwaves to try and describe wind and rain.
It feels like you're being blasted with the fire hose.
It feels not like raindrops, but like metal beads, millions of them just hitting your body at the same time.
If you think of what a really severe sandstorm feels like, that's what it feels like. It hurts.
I feel like I'm feeling the backwash of a jet engine.
Just imagine a whole cup of water, but not all at once, just little random droplets of it hitting your body, but way harder than you're used to. And then, of course, they reiterated the wise advice of local officials.
We have seen a couple of people that have actually been out on the beach despite the warnings that they should not be out here.
And there goes somebody who really shouldn't be out here.
Tourists should not be out here.
They certainly shouldn't be out here.
You should not be out there. I mean, who wants to see Anderson Cooper soaking wet? Oh, a lot of people. Okay. Men and women. All right. And now I'm realizing I do too. So that was stupid. Forget I said that. There were, however, a few bright spots. For one thing, there were the heroic acts of first responders rescuing people in the storm. Now, you'd think applauding the bravery of emergency responders, like the Coast Guard, would be one of the easiest things the president could do. But even that, it seems, is too much to ask of Donald Trump, who praised the Coast Guard yesterday by saying this.
A group that really deserves tremendous credit is the United States Coast Guard. What they've done, I mean, they're going right into that, and you never know. You know, when you go in there, you don't know if you're going to come out. If you talk about branding, no brand has improved more than the United States Coast Guard.
Branding? What are you talking about? The Coast Guard doesn't need to improve their brand. They're the Coast Guard. They're not Arby's. They're not a bunch of people sitting around a boardroom table going, okay, look, people hate the Coast Guard. We need some razzle-dazzle. No idea is a bad idea. Yes, Thompson. What if they tried rescuing people during a hurricane? That's a freaking great idea. And then there were the Floridians themselves who weathered the storm and in some cases knew more about what was going on than the reporters. Just watch this interview a Fox News reporter did with an extremely well-informed resident of Miami Beach.
What do you think about the storm, the power, the ferocity, and the risk to your own safety at this point?
Well, at this point, I'm very relieved to discover that as we speak, the eye of the storm is practically due south of us by 220 miles,
yeah.
Okay, because it's crossing the 80th meridian, which is 80 degrees west longitude. So I'm not so worried because it's so far away, and it's bearing as of 8 p.m.
westbound.
Well, not just westbound. It was 275 degrees. That's only 1/15th above due west toward true north.
Is he right?
So this thing is moving and has been moving in a very westerly direction, and because it's several hundred miles south, the risks are less and less. I'm not right. worried. I don't think it's going to get much worse than what we're seeing right here.
Look at that reporter. He looks like he just lost a rap battle. That answer was amazing to everyone but her, because you know she'd heard it already. She probably suggested they go outside so the wind would drown him out. 80th Meridian. Yeah, that's amazing, honey. Let's go for a walk. Then they walk outside, and she's like, is that reporter asking him about the storm, mother? Unfortunately, not everyone was as well-informed as that guy. Yesterday, in the midst of the storm, President Trump's director of social media, Dan Scavino, who has repeatedly attacked reporters and accused them of spreading fake news, tweeted a video of what he said was flooding at Miami International Airport. Now, it was an intense scene, so the tweet had a lot of replies, including this one from Miami International Airport that said, this video is not from Miami International Airport. Wow, you know you're bad at your job when even airports are correcting you. It's almost as bad as that time LaGuardia tweeted at Trump, you are the LaGuardia of presidents. This pretty much sums up the MO of the Trump presidency. Attack the media for saying things that are true, then repeat something you saw on the internet that's fake. The same thing is happening with climate change. The evidence shows that the effects of climate change, including warmer waters and sea level rise, are making these kinds of extreme weather events worse. And yet the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt, says now is not the time to talk about it, telling CNN to have any kind of focus on the cause and effect of the storm versus helping people who are actually facing the effect of the storm is misplaced. To discuss the cause and effect of these storms, there's the place and time to do that. It's not now. That's like crashing your car into a telephone pole and telling the cops, this is not the time to talk about my drinking problem. So if now's not the time, then when is the time? Because something tells me Donald Trump isn't making a lot of time on his schedule to discuss climate change. I'm pretty sure his schedule is already full. Now, Trump's climate change denial is one of many areas where he's in lockstep with most of the Republican Party. It's a useful reminder of how close Trump is to the rest of his party, especially after a week in which he seems to be cozying up to Democrats. Trump stunned Republicans last week by cutting a deal with Democratic leaders, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, to lift the debt limit and keep the government funded for 3 months. And just to give you an idea of how unhappy Republicans were with the president's sudden friendship with the Democrats, look at Mitch McConnell's face during their meeting with Trump in the Oval Office last week. He looks like he just saw a fellow ghost. That's what the Michelin Man would look like if you let all the air out. Congressional Republicans were stunned by Trump's deal with the Democrats. Watch how flustered Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan was when he was asked on Sunday why Republicans were not able to come up with a plan to convince Trump to side with them.
Unfortunately, there wasn't any good options presented to the, you know, I learned a long time, my background's a sport of wrestling. You don't prepare, you don't do the preparation and go to, we didn't even have a practice to figure out what we were gonna do.
Your background is wrestling? Based on that eloquent answer, I had you pegged for the debate team. Would you wrestle words? To be fair to Jordan, defending Trump would make anyone's brain melt. You see, the president is his own. There are situations where either path, I'm a dog guy, and we've got a golden retriever, and I have nothing. And now Trump's hostility to certain Republicans in Congress, like Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake, has GOP leaders worried ahead of next year's midterms. Texas Senator John Cornyn expressed hope over the weekend that Trump would reconcile with them. Hopefully, the president recognizes it's in his best political interest to have as many Republicans in the Senate as possible. I think he can count. Are you sure about that? Remember, he thinks this is 1.5 million people. So, Trump cut one deal with Democrats to keep the government open and avoid financial chaos, and now all of a sudden, there's a rush of praise from the media crowning him as America's first independent president, including headlines from the New York Times, Associated Press, and Washington Post. Can we just stop with this absurd talking point. Donald Trump is not an independent. The only thing he's independent of is reality. Whether it's his views on climate change, immigration, race, taxes, education, or national security, he's proven time and again that he is a Republican. The GOP is now totally and completely the party of Trump. Hillary Clinton summed it up this way in an interview with CBS, where she described her decision to attend the inauguration and Trump's bleak inaugural address.
So there I was on the platform, you know, feeling like an out-of-body experience. And then his speech, which was a cry from the white nationalist gut.
That's right. It was a cry from the white nationalist gut. And unfortunately for us, there's a lot of gut. And this is something, to her credit, that Hillary Clinton saw coming. Just over a year ago, she gave a speech on the rise of white nationalism and the alt-right. And on Sunday, we saw more of what she was warning us about when former Trump advisor Steve Bannon slithered out from under his rock and gave an interview to 60 Minutes. And he responded to Hillary's alt-right speech from August of last year with this absurd comment.
Her very first speech when she came off the beach was nonsense. And this goes to something I want to address with you. Hillary Clinton's not very bright. Everybody says she's so smart, so much smarter than Donald Trump.
Yeah, everybody is right. Of course Hillary Clinton is smarter than Donald Trump. She's a graduate of Yale Law, a former senator, and Secretary of State. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure Trump thinks Frederick Douglass was in Boys to Men. I hear he's been recognized more and more. I just saw him in that new Geico commercial. Bannon also used the 60 Minutes interview to announce that he would be an unabashed supporter of Trump's agenda outside the White House, going to war with the GOP establishment on Trump's behalf.
I'm a street fighter. That's what I am.
You're more than that.
No, I think I'm a street fighter. By the way, I think that's why Donald Trump and I get along so well. Donald Trump's a fighter. Great counterpuncher. Great counterpuncher. He's a fighter. I'm going to be his wingman outside for the entire time.
And to be fair, Bannon would make a great wingman in the sense that literally anyone would look like a catch standing next to him. Hi there, I'm Donald Trump. No, thank you. Oh, God! I'm sorry, Donald, was it? Bannon tried to prove his credentials as Trump's strongest ally by recounting the weekend the infamous Access Hollywood tape came out, when several Republicans, including those close to Trump, tried to urge him to drop out, while Bannon advised him to double down.
Did you lose confidence of anybody because they came at you at that point and said, look, he ought to get out of this race, other than Ryan Priebus? I mean, did your attitude towards those people who said that, you're just
absolutely
wrong?
Absolutely. Billy Bush Saturday, to me, is a litmus test. When you side with him, you have to side with him. And that's what Billy Bush Weekend showed me. Billy Bush Saturday showed me who really had Donald Trump's back.
Well, you took names on Billy Bush Sunday, didn't you?
I did. Christie, because of Billy Bush Weekend, not looked as for a cabinet position.
He wasn't there for you on Billy Bush Weekend, so therefore he doesn't get a cabinet position.
I told him the plane leaves at 11 o'clock in the morning. If you're on the plane, you're on the team. Didn't make the plane.
Why do they keep saying Billy Bush Weekend? It's not a holiday. Gather around, children. Can you hear it? It's the sound of the Access Hollywood bus. Billy Bush Weekend is here. Tic-tacs for everyone. We celebrate Billy Bush Saturday. What about you? Oh, we're a Billy Bush Sunday family. As much as the Republican establishment may resist, the GOP is now very much the party of Steve Bannon and Donald Trump. They've had plenty of chances to dump him, and they haven't. Not after firing Comey, not after Charlottesville, and certainly not after
Billy Bush Weekend.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest is the New York Times bestselling writer and the creator and star of the hit Bravo series Odd Mom Out. The third season finale airs this Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Please welcome to the show, Joe Kargman, everybody. How are you?
I'm so great.
It's so wonderful to see you, as always. I want to ask, so you created the show, you write the show, you star in the show. It's about a group of female friends in New York. You live in New York. You have female friends here. I'm assuming they must know to some degree that the show is based on them. Are they aware of that?
Well, it's based on a specific type of mom bot, and it's not really about parenting. It's more about keeping up. But that subset of women, I don't roll with. I have very down-to-earth
gotcha.
Friends. I only have 5 friends, and they're all really normal.
Okay. I think if you only have 5, you might be the one that's not that normal. Yeah. But do you sense that they're ever censoring themselves when they tell you a story, as if they say it, it'll be on TV?
No. They all know that we are all the vault and we can know when to
Oh, that's good. It's a nice, safe place.
Yeah.
Do people from outside your circle, people you, strangers, come up and pitch ideas for the show?
All the time. In bathrooms, everywhere. So, and I love it because it makes me happy that it's relatable and they feel like they're living it. But people.
And do you think, does that mean that there are more people that think they're outsiders? Because you play someone who's an identifies as an outsider in the show. Do you feel like that's maybe.
That's what I love about it, is that relatability. But sometimes they look like Barbie dolls and they're like, I'm you. And I'm sort of like, are you? But then it's really how you feel. It's not about how you look. But all the time people come up and be like, you have to put this in your show. It was at my daughter's friend's bas mitzvah. And my zipper got stuck in the bathroom. You have to put it in your show. And I'm like, I'll get right on that. That is must-see TV, honey. Thank you.
Give me your name and address so I can send you your check.
Yeah.
You also, though, I mean, it's a hyper-specific New York show, but you have mentioned that you have people from outside the city. Like, this show, what you're talking about, the idea of keeping up, especially that mom pressure to be perfect in every way, shape, or form, is something that everyone in this country feels.
It's so true. And when I was traveling for my book last year, I met all these women across the country. And, you know, New Yorkers are kind of solipsistic about if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, and it's so dog-eat-dog, metropolis. And, in fact, in some of the smaller satellite cities, the women said, it's actually worse here. And I was like, really? And they said, yeah, you know, we have one school and one supermarket, and you see your mother-in-law every day. And in New York, it's anonymous. I mean, we have the luxury of kind of moving as we want. And my friend said, oh, yeah, someone said to me, I saw your car in Caroline's driveway. I didn't know you were that close. And I was like, that is my nightmare. Like,
yeah. That's true. We are it's very easy to be anonymous here if you want to get away. I also want to ask about your writing staff, because you have some people that do not have a background in writing. You went out and got consultants. You hired an ER doctor from Manhattan. What would your show need with an ER doctor in the writer's
room? Well, my best friend on the show, Vanessa, who's named after my real best friend, Vanessa Eastman, the character is a doctor on the ER, and we just figured there would be a lot of rich people accidents.
Yeah.
So we had a doctor come in, and we, you know, said he didn't name names, so he wasn't breaking the HIPAA oath or whatever. So he just told us about these people, particularly after the Madoff pyramid scheme, who had to lay off their staffs, and they were, you know, somebody.
Oh, so people who'd spent their whole lives with the full staff,
yes,
who all of a sudden.
And their burn unit was like maxed out from people using their oven for the first time. And this guy like pulverized his hand making his own smoothie. And another woman had an iron shaped burn because she tried to iron a dress on herself. So he came in and did like a story vomit, and we used it all. It was so good.
God.
You can't. There are things that writers can't come up with.
No, it's true. Well, you would feel hacky if you pitched it, but then if somebody told you it actually happened, you'd be like, oh, great. Then that's good.
Great.
Definitely
in
going
that case,
in. Yeah. You were on Wendy Williams' show, and then you had Wendy Williams do a guest spot on your show. I've had Wendy here. I've been on her show. She's the most fun person to be near around. Did you enjoy your time with Wendy Williams?
I loved it. She's just this infectious, amazing, energetic person. She cracked me up. We had so much fun on the show. I can't wait for you to see
it. And when you asked her to do it, did you say right away?
Yeah, well, yes. I was waiting to hear because they were on hiatus, and I was sweating because we wrote the part for her. No one could have done it except for Wendy Williams. So she was such an early supporter of Odd Mom Out, so it was just felt very like the circle of life. It was wonderful.
I want to ask about your parents. I met your mom backstage, absolutely lovely woman. Is this a birthday tradition for your father that is a little different than other fathers?
Well, in the last couple years.
Okay.
Last year we happened to be in Massachusetts where he's getting buried. He bought the land.
Okay.
My parents are
he's
very
fine,
organized.
Right?
He's fine.
Okay.
Perfectly healthy.
Just wants to get ahead of the game.
I said, Daddy, what do you want to do today? And we had this brunch, and he was like, I would like to show you the gravesite. So I took a
picture. Is your dad by nature morbid?
Very. My parents are so morbid. They toured cemeteries the way normal people tour colleges.
But I will say, this is a photo of them in a cemetery. They don't look morbid. They look really happy.
Yeah, we're happy people. There's like our area.
Gotcha.
My dad said, it's such a great spot and we just really have the best view. I was like, Daddy, you're dead.
The best view. The thing is, though, you never know about construction. One day it's the best view and then someone builds a giant tombstone.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I like how happy they are about it. I want to be this happy when I think about my future as well.
Yeah, well, his 79th birthday is coming up, and we're getting tattoos together.
What are you getting? Are you just getting matching tattoos?
No, I'm getting the word odd.
Okay.
In, like, New York Times font. Like, I have New York on my back. And he's getting 4 hearts, 2 red, 2 black for my mom and my brother and me.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is that his first tattoo at 79 years old?
Yes, we're going to Mr. K, who did my Inigo Montoya sword.
That's fantastic. This guy's living it up.
Yeah.
Let's go pick out a tombstone, totally. Get a tattoo. I'm flying
yeah,
high.
Doing it all.
Thanks so much for being here, Jill. Always a
Thank
pleasure
you.
To see you. Congrats on season 3. Bill Cartman, everybody. Season finale, Mom on out. Airs this Wednesday, September 13th at 9:30 on Bravo.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm backstage here with Jill Cartman, who's the creator and star of Odd Mom Out on Bravo. You just finished up with Seth. We talked a little bit about, in your pre-interview, the oath of silence that you instituted in the writer's room at Odd Mom Out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my understanding is that most shows do it, especially shows where they talk about, like, or family or something that's private. So we took kind of like a cone of silence thing. We didn't, like, hold hands and chant or any bullshit like that, but we just said, everything stays in this room and you can feel sort of safe. I know that sounds so, like, SoCal cheesy to be like, it's a safe space, but, like, everyone felt like they could, you know, vomit up their past, like, bad sex or something up their kid did and know that they're not going to get judged for it.
Right. Is that something you do, like, a weekly type of story dump when you interact with the writers, or is that something you do more towards the top of the season when you're figuring out
the season? Okay. Yeah, like, we sort of say it because there's new people, and we're the first week is blue sky, and we're just kind of getting to know each other and brainstorming, but it's sort of an understanding that throughout the season, we can tell personal stories, and it's like AA.
Right. And so in addition to Odd Mom Out, you have Sirius Radio Show.
Yes, I love doing it. I've never thought about it before. I probably have more of a face for radio than TV, but Andy yeah. Cohen called me and asked me to do it. He has his own channel that he gets to curate, and I was really honored. So we did sort of a 6-week trial to see if I liked it and if they liked me, and it's turned into a really fun part of my week. I do it twice a week, Wednesday and Friday, 9 to 10.
And so you take callers. Callers call in, and what do you find that you talk the most about on the radio show?
A lot of it is really driven by the guest. So I'll have different guests who are actors or writers or, you know, entrepreneurs who've created something new in the technology space. And it's just sort of like a chat. Like we have a sort of a format now where I talk about what I've been up to, and then we do a morning roast where there's like a coffee, cheesy sounding coffee pouring, but it's like roasting something that pissed me off.
Right.
And then people call in for that too. Like, yes, I totally hate when people do this.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like most of the things that bug me happen to bug a lot of people.
Right.
And then I have a guest and I do live reads. So I'm now a commercial reader. It's really funny being like, Bedford Inn and Suites, because you get waffles in the morning. Waffles! I never, you know, it's kind of fun, though, being a prostitute. I don't mind.
No, I think that sounds, I think being in New York, you don't really get to listen to radio that much, so I only hear Sirius when I rent a car. So.
A lot of people say that, and we have a lot of commuters, and sometimes, you know, I'll say and then someone's like, I'm in the car with my kids on the way to school listening to you, but they have their headphones on, so it's okay. But yeah, I have a really naughty mouth, and Bravo, you know, obviously you can't curse
yeah.
on basic cable, and I feel very free and uninhibited, so.
It's great.
Yeah, it's nice. I can just sort of go off.
So you talked about this roasting section on the radio show. In your book, Sprinkle mm-hmm. Glitter on My Grave, you also did this section where you talked about things that bug you. And some of my favorites, I wrote some down, were like giving thanks to Valentino for using his private jet / like bragging. Like,
yeah, I really don't like humble brags and stuff where people say things like, you know, thank you so much for, or, you know, they'll sometimes say, someone just said to me recently, like, oh, the traffic to Teterboro is awful. But they really just want to say that they are flying from Teterboro, which is the private jet place in New York. So, you know, things like that drive me crazy. Any kind of feigned subtlety at trying to, like, jet drop or conspicuous consumption, like that Mnuchin wife who did right. all the tags of Valentino and Tom Ford, and then they issued releases being like, we didn't give you bitch, like, do not even imply that we lent you this stuff.
We also do, like, happy birthday to my 8-month-old baby.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those types of social media posts.
Social media posts with the chalkboard or the blocks that you turn for every month birthday, I'm not into it. Your baby's not seeing your birthday announcement. But my biggest pet peeve is 26 months. or like asking the kid's age, like just say one or two. Like right. It's maybe 18 months. I still said 1.5, but like I don't want to do that kind of math at the in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, when so your baby's 26 months, just say two. Right.
18 is the cutoff then.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, I think that's fair.
I didn't even say 16 or 17. I would just say they're one. Go away.
And the other one was food you just made on Instagram, the post that you hated.
Yeah, you know, I had to unfollow a lot of people with their food posts. I just don't care. I'll go by gourmet. You know, if you're a little gourmandster in your kitchen, that's nice. I don't need to see it. Unfollow.
Yeah. Okay. Lastly, we talked a little bit about the fact that you grew up in New York City and you went to private school and now you're raising your kids in New York. They're also going to private school. What are some of the differences that you found aside from like the obvious time differences, but what that you found in the terms of way that you grew up in private school and how they're growing up?
Well, my mom can answer this too, who's here, but I feel like in the 80s, even though I was coming of age during this Gordon Gekko Wolf of Wall Street period, mm-hmm. there was sort of an embarrassment of riches, and a girl in my class who had a limousine would ask to be dropped off two blocks away because she was kind of cringy about it, and now people are like, pimping cocaine, why escalades, like pulling up with the music blaring. And there's just a culture of fabulosity right now. I don't know if it's the advent of reality or the Kardashians or whatever it is, the tabloids. I just feel like people are so much more privy to label, you know, which labels are in and what people have. And I don't, ironically, even though the 80s everyone thought was so me generation, I feel like now it's way more me. It's selfies. It's all of it. So, yeah, you know, private school, it's tricky in New York. I try to shelter my kids from, but luckily I've got very fortunate with the people in their classes. But I remember in nursery school when my daughter Ivy was 3, she said, Mommy, why are you the only mom at school without red bottoms on your shoes? And I didn't know whether to be like horrified or like kind of proud of her powers of observation, but I was horrified. And I said, well, I don't spend 11 hundo on hoops.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like you probably give them a very good basis for what the value system is, and then that they can see that stuff and then sort of like decide what's important and what isn't.
Totally. And now they're 11, they're 14, 11, and 10. And so I feel like that heavy lifting is done because mm-hmm. there's just innocent childhood questions when they were younger, like, why don't we have a country house? And I'd say, you know, I hate the country and I don't know how to drive.
Right.
And all their friends had country houses. So they're like, where's ours? And I just shut it all down. They know that I'm not like the other moms. They know that they shouldn't have their hand out for the iPhone 8 or whatever the hell their friends are getting. Like, right. We're just not getting it for them. So they know not to ask, and they definitely know not to say, but everyone's doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great...
If everyone's doing it, we're not doing it.
Well, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you, Sarah.
Really nice to have you.
What a blast. Everyone's so nice here.
You'll have to come back soon.
I would love to.
Okay, good.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.